even denying the Lord that bought them. Now look at this. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. Bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Now look at this. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not. It may appear to them that it does, but it's not lingering. And their damnation slumbers not. It's not asleep. It's swift. It will come swiftly. Now here's our text. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. And we have to, he carries on the thought, but we're going to just look at this verse. But this is the thought, if God spared not the angels that sin, he will not spare any man who sins, though they appear as angels of light. God will cast them down to hell. Now, what a solemn subject, brethren, for every teacher in every capacity. Husbands before our households, parents before our children, believers before our neighbors, and especially teachers in the church. And we're talking about teaching spiritual things. We're talking about teaching that which is honoring to God. Now, brethren, the most important thing above everything else, above all things, the preeminent important thing is to abide in the truth of God. I want to look first at these angels that sinned, and then look at God's judgment upon them, and then have, secondly, a few words of comfort and encouragement for the believer. Now, here's the first thing we see. Angels sinned. Now, that ought to stop us right there and just make us think about this. A host of heavenly angels, even that chief one that we now know as the devil, as Satan, these were spirits created by God. These were and they were created good and holy. They were with God in heaven. But these angels rebelled against God. What was the sin in heaven that caused them to rebel? What was this sin that they rebelled, this sin of their rebellion? Let's look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, John 8:44. He's speaking to the Jews here, who were teachers and rulers and what have you. And he says to them, John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Now here's the devil. This is what he is. He was a murderer from the beginning. And here's this great sin. And abode not in the truth. He did not abide in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he's a liar and the father of it. And the Lord said him, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. He abode not in the truth. Be looking at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And hold your place in Hebrews. We'll come back here. But God in heaven made known the truth of the gospel to the angels. We don't know everything, but we have some understanding of what he made known to them. I think he made known to them the truth. I think he made known to them what he was going to do. This is before man ever sinned. This is before he ever made the heavens and the earth. But he was taught, Satan and this host of heavenly angels, it was declared to them the truth of Christ Jesus, the Son of God himself. It was declared to them that God would save chosen sinners by the work of Christ Jesus, the Son of God. That the truth that the Son of God would take the nature of man, who was beneath these angels. He would take the nature of man, and that he'd glorify God, declaring him just and the justifier of all that believe in Jesus, and that he would redeem each one for whom he would lay down his life. And that Christ was and He would be exalted to be head in that nature of a man, to be head over all angels and men. And they heard that. He heard that. Look at Hebrews 1. It's talking about Christ's coming, and it says in verse 3, He's the brightness of God's glory. He's the express image of His person. He upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He accomplished what He came to do. He put the sins of His people away. He purged them by Himself. And He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Look at this now. Being made so much better than the angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. A more excellent name than angels. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art My Son, this day have I begotten Thee. And again, I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to Me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, when Christ came into this world, God said, Let all the angels of God worship Him. Let them fall down and worship Him. This one who came as a babe, that came with no form or comeliness about Him. And of the angels, He saith, verse 7, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. But, that's what He made. He gave the angels honor. He made His angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, He said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of Thy kingdom. That's who Christ is. He's God. He's righteous. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of His kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness. Look at this word. Above thy fellows. Look down at verse 13. But to which of the angels said He at any time, Sit on My right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? He never said that to an angel. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? He said they would be ministers. They would be serving and be in subjection to this one. Look at Hebrews 2 and verse 5. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that Thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that Thou visitest him? These lowly creatures, lowly, more lowly even than the angels. And look, Thou madest Him a little lower than the angels. Christ came lower than the angels. But Thou crownest Him with glory and honor, and didst set Him over the works of Thy hands. Set Him over the works of Your hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet. This under Christ's feet. For in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that's not put under Him. But Satan and these fallen angels, when they were in heaven's glory, they heard this word of what Christ would accomplish. Come, God the Son, come in human nature and do this for His people. And they'd be exalted above them and exalted and be head, and they being ministers of His and be in subjection to this one who was beneath them, who they thought was beneath them. And pride wouldn't let them bow to Christ Jesus. He wouldn't let them bow down, knowing He'd be exalted above them in our human nature. And Satan, just probably just like he led Eve in the garden and beguiled her, he led these angels in rebellion against God. And now we see the judgment. Go back to 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. And God spared not the angels that sinned. God did not spare these angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now the Holy Spirit's drawing a parallel here between false teachers and those who follow those false teachers. He's drawing a parallel between false teachers and those who follow false teachers with Satan and these fallen angels who followed him. As the fallen angels sin, so false teachers. The damnable heresies that men bring in exalts man rather than God exalts the creature over the Creator. These angels were created beings, and they wanted to be as equal with God. They wanted to be as the Most High God. That's why the doctrines of men are called the doctrines of devils, because they are the doctrines of devils. The devil's doctrine is, we will not have this man reign over us. We will not. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of himself, Christ said. That's his message. Self, self, self. I will, I will, I will. I will be as the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the heavens. He's a liar, God said, and the father of lies. Now, just as those fallen angels were cast down to hell and delivered into chains of darkness, false teachers and those who follow them are cast down. Just as these angels were reserved until the day of judgment, those who false teachers and fallen men follow them are reserved until that great day of judgment. That's a, do you realize what a solemn warning that is? What a sobering thought that is? All men who've heard the truth, and this is critical, all men that have heard the truth and maybe even profess to believe on Christ, but afterwards denied Christ, afterwards said they're gonna bring Christ down a little bit and bring man up a little bit and try to make this thing not quite as offensive and because man's so proud by nature. Anybody who does that, the Scripture says, it's impossible if they fall away to renew again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. This is Hebrews 10:26. You've probably read this and you've probably thought, now what is that sin if I sin willfully? Look at Hebrews 10:26. I don't think I've ever sinned against God in anything I've ever done or thought that wasn't willful, that I didn't do it knowing I was doing it. Have you ever done anything that you didn't know you were doing, being honest about it? You knew it and you did it, went into it knowing it. But this willful sin we're talking about is, it's forsaking the assembling of the saints, that church that God has assembled, that Christ has assembled, and not abiding in the truth, just like these fallen angels did. Look, verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, that's the key. If we say, well, I'm telling you, it's serious business, brethren, when God has crossed our path with the gospel of free and sovereign grace, and He's truly crossed, it is a serious thing for us to hear the truth and say, the waters of Damascus are just as good. Why can't I be washed in those waters? Look, if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. In Moses' day, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And I think the word Moses' law there is speaking about the word Moses preached in his day. When he spoke the words of God, if a man treated him lightly and didn't give honor to whom honor was due and despised the God he represented in his heart, that man died under two or three witnesses. And he said, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God? He's come now. There was time past when God winked at this ignorance, but He don't anymore. His Son has come in these last days, and He's spoken. And He's sent forth His apostles and His prophets and His teachers into this world. And there's no man that's perfect. I understand that. And we all make errors and say things that are wrong. But God has sent forth the truth, brethren. And it's trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified. And I believe He refers to Moses, that blood of covenant wherewith Moses was sanctified. It counted an unholy thing, and that's what it's doing, counting the blood of Christ an unholy thing, the blood of the everlasting covenant of grace an unholy thing, and do despite unto the Spirit of grace. How much sore punishment. Now that's sobering. That is, It makes you, when you get up to teach somebody, and even in our home, it makes you think about that and think, I want to be careful in what I say. I want to speak that which is true. I want to say that which is so. That some have said that the deepest parts of hell will be reserved for those who taught people lies and led them in a false way against God. That's serious. That is a serious thought. Here's some comfort, brethren, for you who believe on Christ. This is opposite to what these false teachers taught, and opposite to what their followers do, and opposite to those fallen angels. He that glories, you want to glory. You want to make a boast about something. Glory in God. Glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We owe everything to God's grace. Everything to His grace. God chose us in Christ before He made the world for no reason in His elect whatsoever. Simply because He would. And if He had not have chosen us, us who were conceived in sin in our mother's womb and come forth speaking lies, if He would not have chosen us, we would not have chosen Him. And brethren, we owe it all to His grace. We owe everything to His grace. And that very word of truth, look over at Hebrews 2:6. That very word of truth that they despised, that those angels despised in glory, the very truth that men despise in our day. We've got something that fallen angels despise, but we've got something that they never had. We've got something that the angels never had. Look at Hebrews 2:16. For verily, He took not on Him the nature of angels. He didn't take the nature of angels. Christ took on Him the seed of Abraham. He came in the likeness of His sinful flesh. Here He's one completely opposite to Satan and his angels. Here's one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because He is God, and yet He made Himself of no reputation. And He took upon Him the form of a servant, and He came down. Christ came down to where we are, was made in flesh and blood like His people, because as God he can make eternal satisfaction, but He's got to be a man that He can die for His brethren. And be made under the law and fulfill that law. And He did that. And He justified all for whom He died and made atonement for us with God. That never did happen to the angels. That never had happened. God's done something for sinners that He's never done to angels who are above us and created and made greater than we are. And this is something else. We don't want our will to be free. I've said this to you before. What is our will going to be free from? Free from God? Is that what men want to be? That's what Satan and his angels wanted, to be freed from God. We don't want our will to be free from God's hand. We want Him to keep us. These angels were holy. They were pure. And God left them to their will. He left them to do what they would. He's seen it in Adam. He put him in the garden, holy, pure, and left him to do what he would. And they're both in a perfect state and a perfect environment. Do you think we who are sinners would do anything less than what Satan and his angels did and what Adam and Eve did in the garden? Do you think we'd do anything less after we are sinners that we are? We saw that the carnal man's not subject to the law of God. He can't be. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He just won't. He can't. They're foolishness to him. But brethren, by the grace of God, we want to be. And we are, we want to be. We are and we want to be continually, inseparably united with Christ by His blessed Spirit. We want our will to be inseparably united in subjection to God's will and kept in subjection to Him by the Spirit of God. And God does so by His power. He said, thy people, that's His chosen elect people whom He gave to Christ, thy people shall be made the righteousness of God by the blood of Christ Jesus, made new creatures, being born again of the Spirit of God. Thy people shall be made willing to do what? willing for Christ to have the preeminence, willing for God, all the glory in our salvation, all the glory in heaven and earth to be God's, willing to be in subjection to Him, willing to be willing bondservants of Him. Willing for Him to keep us. Willing for Him to be our husband who provides for His house and takes care of us and so that we're provided for in all things by Him. Willing. Willing. When did we experience that? Thy people shall be made willing in the day of Thy power. Of Thy power. Our gracious Father has made a covenant with us. He says to us, I didn't leave anything in your hands. I ordered this thing and all things, and I made it sure because I put my Son over the work of my hands, and I gave it all into His hands. And by His blood, He has done everything required of His children as a man. He's done everything required of them, and as God, He's done everything required of them, of God. So that here you got, from God and from man, you got in Christ Jesus, God fulfilling His aspect of the covenant and man fulfilling His in Christ, by Christ, who is the God-man, so that now God and His elect can come together in perfect harmony. And we're kept by that word of truth. That's the word of truth. And we're kept by that word of truth. The Scripture says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For His seed, that incorruptible seed, that incorruptible word whereby we're born, His seed remaineth in Him, and He cannot sin because He's born of God. We're made members of His bones, of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. But do we boast any confidence in ourselves? Do we look to ourselves and think for a minute, well, I can go over here and I can dilly-dally in this sin a little bit over here because I'm kept. Or I can turn out of the way and not have to hear the gospel and I can walk a while on my own. I don't have to have God every day, every hour. I don't have to be reading His Word. I don't have to be seeking His face in prayer. Is that what we think? Oh, no, brethren, that's not what we think. We're kept and we shall never fall, but we're kept by not ourselves, but by God's grace, by His grace. And it's only by His unchanging grace and power that we're kept in the day of temptation. When Satan comes around speaking lies, when he sends one of his ministers of light, one of his angels of light that transforms himself into an apostle of Christ, and he comes around and he whispers in our ear and he says, has God said, that's not what God meant. Here's what God meant. Has God said you'll die? You won't die if you eat that which God said not to eat. That's a lie. He's a liar and the father of it. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. That's what verse 9 says. The Lord knows how to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished, but He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. My brethren, ever depend upon God's grace, the God of all grace. Ever depend on a sinner saved by grace. We never arrive at any lofty place. Look at the angels in heaven. Here they are, as high as you could get. As near to God as you could get. Here they are in the presence of God. We never arrive at any lofty place to where we can do without God's keeping hand of grace. And anybody who says otherwise is just lying. The truth's not in them. Put no confidence in the flesh, in ability, or in office, or learning, or service, or experience, or gifts. Don't put any confidence in any of those things. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. That's what God said. We see the example here. This is the example in these angels. He is so wise of God not to begin with men to give us this example, but to go to angels who are so far above us that we can't even enter into what they are or who they are. Let men cry out free will all they want to. Let men say that liberty, speak of liberty, which is nothing more but the bondage of Satan, called those chains of darkness. Let men talk about that all they want to. Here's what God's child says. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. That's what we're praying. Lord, don't leave me to myself. how you've shown me enough, just enough of what I am that I know, Lord, don't leave me to myself. Please don't leave me to my will. The God of all grace promises us, brethren, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our righteousness, that He won't. He won't. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Here's what we'll end with. Christ and Christ alone must and shall have the preeminence. He's got to have the preeminence in every aspect of our lives, brethren. Whether it's husbands as the head of the house, whether it's the parents leading the children, whether it's me, your pastor, whoever, brethren, Christ has got to have preeminence in everything. Even if we start thinking that we can stand, we're already entangled. Already. Let's follow Christ. Here's what you be looking over to Jude, and I'm going to read this passage to you while you turn over there. This is from Hebrews 12. He says, "Lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." In other words, come straight to Christ. Come to Him. Follow peace with all and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently to Christ Jesus, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Just like Esau, who for one morsel of meat, that's all it took, just one bowl of beans is all it took for him to say, "I'll sell everything for that." That's what we'll do if we're not kept by God. And we run this race looking diligently to Him. Here's what we'll end with. Jude 24. "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and ever. Amen."